Hi everybody, my name is Chris and I am a recovering addict. I am so grateful to be here. And I owe all of this to my higher power and to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, to everybody in the fellowship, and to the Frederick area that's hosting a great convention this year. Thank you so much. You know, I am really, really overwhelmed. I'm really nervous, but, you know, looking out, I see so many people in this room that mean so much to me, and, you know, we've been through so much together, and just shared so much stuff. You know, I was really, really nervous thinking about this for the past couple months, you know, and I read and reread the fifth step and the fifth tradition, and I've practiced both in my life. But sometimes when you get asked to speak and you're speaking at a convention, you kind of just forget, like, everything. And so I made some notes, and Patrick's given me, you know, the evil eye about the notes. But, you know, the fifth step, admitted to God, ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. First, I just, you know, I don't want to turn this into a war story, but I just want to tell you, like, where I came from. Heroin was my drug of choice. You know, I used and abused drugs for many years, and it took me to the state penitentiary for 6 years. So, you know, I had a lot of wrongs, just like we all did, you know, a whole lot of wrongs. And I was introduced to the program of Narcotics Anonymous in 1984, and, you know, I had been in and out of rehabs, you know, a chronic relapser. The first experience I ever had with the fifth step was actually in a rehab. You know, we get our little books in rehab, and you know, we do our groups, and we get instructed to write on the steps. And one of my counselors, who was really, really instrumental in my recovery back then, he was a really, really great guy, and you know, like, I could totally, totally relate with him. He had us go back to our rooms and write on the fourth step, and we had to, like, do, like, a little mini fifth step with him. And one of the things on my, this is, like, how I first got the faith in the higher power for a fifth step. My father was a musician, and he also was a choir director at a church. And one night in the middle of my addiction, I stole the keys for the church, and I went in to the church and I stole a whole sheet of payroll checks from the church's office and proceeded to write them out to all my friends, and we went to a check cashing agency and, you know, cashed them all. And this was one of the things that I had written down on my fourth step. And you know, my counselor encouraged me to call my parents in and share this with them, you know, as part of a little mini fifth step. And, you know, I said, no, I'm not going to do it, you know. And he said, you know, like, where's your faith? You know, like, where's your faith in your higher power, and where's your faith in your parents? They've stood beside you, you know, through all of this. Do you really think that something's going to happen? You know? And I did. I called my parents in, and we did, like, a little mini fifth step, and I told my dad what I did. You know, I said I took the keys to the church, and I went in and I stole a sheet of payroll checks. And guess what? Nothing happened. You know what I mean? Nothing happened. Except the freedom. The freedom that you get from doing stuff like that in a fifth step. You know, I didn't stay clean at that point, but that was my first experience with the fifth step. My first experience with just having, like, a little bit of faith in sharing, you know, with another human being. So I went away to prison for almost 6 years. And, you know, I'd like to say that I pretty much got clean in prison. I stayed clean for 12 years after I got out, and then I relapsed, and, you know, I now have 14 years again. So, you know, prison was like the start of like a long period of recovery for me. And when I came home, I didn't think that I had to do any step work at all, but the first step. You know, I knew I couldn't use, you know, I knew my life was unmanageable. My rap sheet sure showed that, you know. But I didn't think I had to do anything else. I didn't think I had to do any other step work. You know, my thought was, I've paid my debt to society. You know, everything's clean. You know, I'm like a new human being. You know, like, when I came home from prison, I was away for so long, I got credit immediately because they didn't know about my bad credit when I was away. All my driving under suspended license and tickets and all were gone. You know, I got my license reinstated right away. I was like a new person. So it was real easy for me, and I got a job, you know, and it was real easy for me. I'm doing great. I just don't have to use and that I'll be fine, you know. But you know what? Life got real lifey. You know, life got real lifey. And I pushed, you know, I got married. I had kids. I had stepkids. I got a house. I got a job. And recovery was on the back burner. You know, I moved away from my my home group, my original home group where I got clean. And I moved from Philly to Montgomery County. And, you know, I just never bothered to look for a new home group. And, you know, and then my husband started to drink, you know, and then eventually I drank after 2 years of being just abstinent. And, you know, I guess at that point I came back to the rooms and I felt that, you know, maybe, just maybe, I needed to do a little step work, you know. So I got a sponsor. And I went through the steps, and I remember sharing a fifth step with a sponsor that I had at that time. And after 7 hours of sharing with her, 7 hours, she kind of said, "Okay, Chris, I think you've covered just about everything. You know, you can go home now." But sharing the fifth step allows me to get rid of all that garbage in the past, you know, and it allows me to live in the present. It's funny, I just did a fifth step, I'd say maybe 6 months ago. You know, I'm doing the steps again through the NA workbook, and it took me 17 months to do my fourth step in the NA workbook. Like, I procrastinate big time, you know. But when I finally finished it, I sat down with my sponsor and did, you know, a second, fifth step. And, you know, it talks about in our literature, find somebody, you know, it doesn't have to be a sponsor, but it needs to be somebody that you trust, you know, somebody that you can have confidence in. And I definitely have confidence in my sponsor. You know, I've shared so much with her. And we don't always see eye to eye on everything at all. We don't. I mean, I'll tell her how I feel if I feel that I don't agree with something that she's doing. You know, I'll tell her. You know, we've had some little mini battles, not anything big. But you know what? I can definitely trust her, for sure. For sure. You know, I can know that what I tell her will not go any further than her, you know. And when I was doing my fifth step with her, some things came up that I hadn't written on my fourth step, you know, just that I had totally forgot, you know, because, you know, I've been clean a while, you know, and I was trying to go back like 25 years ago to do another fourth step. So, you know, I try, you know, not to hurt people anymore on a daily basis. You know what I mean? I try not to do that. So it was, and I, you know, I definitely fall short, for sure. But when we sat down to do my fifth step, there was, you know, a couple situations that came up that weren't on my fourth. So I dealt with them right there and then with her, you know, and we talked about it. You know, living in the present, like if I don't live in the present and if I'm not honest, like the
our basic text talks about being honest. You know what? I'm doomed to repeat the same mistakes. You know, if I do a fifth step that's just a bunch of crap, I'm just going to go right back out there and do that same bunch of crap again. You know, like, I wasn't as bad as, or, you know what? No, I was really bad. You know what I mean? I was really a hopeless dope fiend. You know, a chronic relapser. Somebody that you wouldn't want in your presence, somebody that you wouldn't let in your home. You know, and I needed to get, you know, in touch with all of that on my fourth step. And it was really hard for me to find, you know, how you're supposed to have assets and liabilities. You know, and I know I have assets, you know what I mean? And I know the real person inside of here is not the person that I was in my addiction. But, you know, I just felt like I had such a checkered past. It was really, really hard for me to pick out assets. And that's one thing my sponsor wants me to do and wanted me to do on my fifth step, you know, to talk about my assets too. Because every time I talk about my liabilities, she'll say, but Chris, such and such, you know what I mean? Like she'll bring up good points about me, which, you know, as addicts, I mean, this addict, you know, sometimes we have a hard time finding good points about ourselves, you know? We just think, you know, especially after writing for 17 months about all the crap that I did, you know, it's hard to sometimes realize that, yeah, I'm like a really good person deep down inside, you know, and on the surface I'm a good person, you know. I was just a really, really sick person, you know. It's funny, I have like a group of girls that I went to high school with that I used to live with when I graduated from high school, and none of them are addicts. You know, and once they got a load of me and what I was doing, you know, I totally was pushed out of that circle. But, you know, one of the rewards of the program today is that, like, they're all back in my life again. And one of my girlfriends said to me the other day, she said, you know, you were such a bad person and now you're so good. And I said, no, I was such a sick person and now I'm just a little bit better. You know, because, like, this is, you know, and I truly believe deep down in my heart of hearts, deep down to my very last bone in my body, that I have a disease. You know, I truly believe that. You know, it's in my family, you know, it goes back generations, and I got it. You know what? But what a disease to have, because, like, all I have to do is come here and fellowship with you people and go to meetings and, like, take a good look at myself and thank God. Excuse me, at night, and ask him in the morning to keep me clean, and just these little things that I have to do each day give me a daily reprieve from this disease and allow me to put one day together and then another day together and then another day together and, like, get somewhere in life, you know? Like, I was so unemployable, you know? I couldn't get up. I could, you know, our literature says we live to use and we use to live, and that was me, you know, and one is too many and a thousand never enough, and all that stuff that we say, I could definitely relate to the minute I heard it, you know. I got up, if I even went to bed, I got up and immediately started chasing that bag, and it just went on and on and on and on and on. You know, I was, I would go days without a shower, days without brushing my teeth. You know what I mean? I sold my car for dope. I hitchhiked. I did all kinds of stuff. I did what I had to do to get the next bag, you know? And, you know, when I share that kind of stuff on a fifth step with a sponsor, and she says, guess what? I did that stuff too, you know? Like, you weren't the only disgusting dope fiend out there, you know? I did that stuff too. And we think we're so unique, but when we have, you know, when we do a fifth step, we find out that we're not unique. You know, we're not unique, and our higher power is with us when we're doing a fifth step. You know, he's with us. And I know my sponsor just couldn't have been more loving, you know, during my fifth step. I don't know, it's such a freedom. That step to me means freedom, honesty and freedom. You know, if I could sum up the fifth step in two words, it would be honesty and freedom. Because today I'm able to be honest, you know, and the freedom that I feel after talking about all that crap, you know, it's just amazing. You know, there's no amount of money, you know, there's nothing that can give me the feeling that I have except through you guys and through our steps and our principles. Now, and you know, that brings me to the fifth tradition. You know, our group's primary purpose is to help the still suffering addict, and thank God for that. You know, and thank God for the group, and thank God, you know, that the group didn't tell me in all my chronic relapses to go away and, you know what, you're not welcome back here anymore. You know, thank God for that. And, you know, I just throw the third tradition in that, you know, the only desire, just have a desire. Thank God the group didn't say, well, you showed up one time and you relapsed, so you lost the desire to to stay clean, so you can't come back to this group anymore. You know, in reading the fifth tradition, you know, it talks about groups don't recover, addicts do, you know. So as the addict, my primary purpose is to stay clean and help the next one stay clean. But the group's primary purpose is to, or the addict's primary purpose is for recovery. Groups don't recover, so their primary purpose is to help the still suffering addict. You know, I think about my home group and, you know, the different things that go into a, you know, into the group. You know, our group, we keep the doors open. We pay the rent. You know, some of us make coffee, some don't. You know, the chairperson, you know, is to keep order in the room. You know, that's all part of what the group does that helps the still suffering addict, you know, that helps the newcomer. You know, if the newcomer walks into the group and sees all this chaos going on and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff, you know what? Are they going to want to stay? You know? Are they going to think that being in here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is any better than being out there using? You know, it's really important that the group creates an atmosphere of recovery, and that helping the addict is our primary and only purpose. In our basic text, it talks about, you know, well, what if our group's primary purpose was to make money, you know, or to promote education, you know, or health. Well, that's great, you know what? But we'd have a lot of rich, healthy addicts out there, you know, that would probably be, you know, dead after not too long. So, and it's such a simple tradition, you know, it really is. It's such a simple, simple tradition, you know, that's, and the group, you know, I'm involved in area back home, and, you know, they're always telling us how important the group is. You know, I'm a GSR and we have to go back to the group and you know, we take group conscience on a lot of stuff, and the group is, you know, like the most important unit, I think, in this whole deal here. You know, it really is. Because when an addict alone, sometimes the message gets mixed when an addict is speaking. You know, personalities get involved and different things. But when you have a whole group of people, you know, when you have a group and a group conscience, you know, it tends to be more consistent. You know, addicts throw their opinions out there and, you know, it's open to interpretation, you know, to a newcomer. But a group, not so much. And you know what, like, everybody should say that their home group's the best. Like, that's how I feel. I love my home group. I love it. I think it's the best home group. I really do. You know, and I used to travel like an hour every Friday night to get to my home group. You know, because you know what, I would have traveled way more than an hour to get a bag of dope, you know. And now I'm fortunate enough to live like 10 minutes from my home group. But I just love my home groups. I really, really love my home groups so much. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for the group. There really isn't. Or, you know, or for the addict that still suffers. I've just been so blessed. I've been so blessed to be part of this program, you know, to finally feel a part of, you know, because when I came in and out and in and out and in and out, I didn't feel a part of. Well, I guess not, you know. I couldn't stop using. You know, I couldn't get a day clean. I had sponsors and other recovering addicts trying to help me. But when I finally surrendered and became a part of, there's just nothing like it. There's just nothing like this fellowship. And I used to be, you know, at first I didn't want to do any steps, and then I started to get into that. And then I didn't want to hear about the traditions either. I didn't want to do that either. I don't want to know. You know what? But like they say, the steps prevent us from committing suicide and the traditions prevent us from committing homicide. Because we're a bunch of egomaniacs in here. You know what? And when we get together and we start arguing about stuff, my way's right, your way's not, you know, this is how this should be, this is how that should be, blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's why we have traditions. You know, just come to an area service meeting if you haven't been to one. You know what I mean? And I don't care what area we're talking about. I'm sure it happens all over. You know? And the traditions are in place so that we can kind of, like, keep it calm, you know, keep it calm to a certain extent. You know, and I just, I'm going to, you know, cut it. Do I have any more time? 4 minutes? Okay, so I'll end it with saying, you know, no addict, no addict seeking recovery has to use drugs. They can lose the desire to use and find a new way of life. And our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. And I'm just so grateful that I have found all of that in this fellowship. Thank you.